The police station was completely deserted, apart from the civilian aide, back on duty behind the reception counter. He was a tall, creaky individual, about 70 years old. He was sitting glumly on his stool. Reacher asked for the news. The guy said there wasn't any. Reacher asked how long the department would stay deployed. The guy said he didn't know. The department had no experience of such a thing. There had never been an escape before. There was no escape tonight, Reacher said. The guy is hiding out inside.
That's your opinion?
Yes, it is.
Based on what?
Common sense, Reacher said.
Then I should think they'll give it another hour or so. The perimeter is a mile out. 2 hours is long enough to decide the guy is already through, or maybe not coming at all.
Tell me how the roll call works. For the department at the prison.
I do it from here, by radio. I work through the list. They answer me from their cars or their collar mics. I check them off.
How did it go tonight?
All present and correct.
No absentees.
None at all.
Misfires? Hesitations?
None.
When did you do it?
I started when I heard the siren. It takes about 5 minutes beginning to end.
So they're self-certifying, aren't they?
I don't follow.
Reacher said, you don't really know where they are or what they're doing. All you know is if they answer your call or not.
I ask them where they are. They tell me. Either they're in position or close to it. And the prison warden is entitled to check.
How?
He can go up in a tower, an eyeball. The land is flat. Or he can tap into our radio net and call the roll himself if he wants.
Did he tonight?
I don't know.
Who was the last in the position tonight?
Oh, I can't say. Early in the alphabet, they're all still in motion. Late in the alphabet, they're all already on station.
So they tell you.
Why would I doubt them?
You need to call Chief Holland, Reacher said. Mrs. Salter is dead. Reacher wandered through the silent station, the squad room, Holland's office, the bathrooms, and he came to rest in the room with the crime scene photographs pinned to the walls, the biker and the lawyer. He sat with his back to the biker and looked at the lawyer. He didn't know the guy's name, didn't know much about him at all, but he knew enough to know the guy was basically the same as Janet Salter. A man, not a woman. A frozen road, not a warm, book-lined room. But they were both half-wise, half-unworldly people, lulled into a false sense of security, tricked into relaxing. The shift lever in Park and the window all the way down in the door were the same things as Janet Salter's comfortable posture and the book on her lap. Understand their motives, their circumstances, their goals, their aims, their fears, their needs. Think like them. See what they see. Be them. They were both all the way there. Not partway, not halfway. They were completely trusting. They had opened up, literally. Doors, windows, hearts, minds. Not half worried, not half formal, not half suspicious. They were all the way there. Not just any cop could do that to them. It was a cop they both knew, had met before, were familiar with. Peterson had asked, what would your elite unit do now? Answer? Reacher or Susan or any of the other 110th Special Unit COs in between them would put their feet up on the damaged desk and send a pair of eager lieutenants to map out both lives, to list all known acquaintances in the Bolton PD in order of intimacy. Then he, or she, or any of the others would cross-reference the lists, and a name would show up in common. Reacher had no pair of eager lieutenants, but there were other approaches. A minute later, Reacher heard footsteps in the corridor, arrhythmic. The slap of one sole, followed by the scrape of the other.
the old guy from the counter. He had a slight limp. He stuck his head in the door and said, "Chief Holland is on his way. He's leaving his post up there." "He shouldn't, but he is." Reacher nodded, said nothing. The old guy said, "It's a terrible thing that happened to Mrs. Salter."
"I know."
"Do you know who did it?"
"Not yet." "Did anyone call anything in?"
"Like who?"
"A neighbor, maybe. A shot was fired."
"Inside the house?"
"In her library."
The old guy shrugged. "Houses are far apart. Everyone has storm windows. Most of them are triple glazed, and on a night like this, all of them are shut tight."
Reacher said nothing. The old guy asked,
"Is it one of us?"
"Why would it be?"
"Chief Holland called a meeting just before the siren. Can't see any other reason for it. Can't see any other way of doing it, either. The lawyer, I mean, then Mr. Peterson and Mrs. Salter. The three of them, fast and easy, just like that. It has to be one of us. And then you asked who was last in position tonight."
"Were you a cop?"
"I was with this department 30 years.
"I'm sorry."
"I'd like to get my hands on the guy."
"You spoke to him tonight, at some point, either just before or just after."
"They all sounded normal to me."
"Do you know them well?"
"Not the new guys."
"Was anybody particularly close with Mrs. Salter?"
"A lot of them were. She's a fixture." "Was a fixture."
7 miles up and 400 miles south, Plato's cell phone rang again. The money he had taken from the Russian was hammering its way around the world, from one jurisdiction to another, shady and untraceable. An automated all-night trip that was scheduled to take 7 hours in total. But it was always banking hours somewhere. The deposit flashed across a screen in Hong Kong and tripped a code that meant the account holder should be notified. So the clerk that saw it dialed a number that bounced through 5 separate call forwarding triggers before ringing out inside the Boeing high above Nebraska. Plato answered and listened without comment. He was already the richest man he had ever met. He always would be. He was Plato, and they weren't. Not his parents, not the Russian, not his old associate Martinez, not anybody.